You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where we look ahead to Friday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Ascot, the feature meeting, including a couple of Grade 2s there. There's the Supreme Trial and the Noel Novices Chase. We've also got jumping at Air and New Toxter, all with the racing on the fibre stand at Southwell to complete the afternoon lineup, Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So a busy old Friday. Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount, the pundits. Right now, though, I'm joined in the studio by Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm absolutely in rampant form. Rampant is the word.
Wow.
And, thinking that today is Thursday, in a few days' time, it'll all be over.
Yeah.
The fuss will have gone and normality will take place.
Okay, so last time I was on the podcast with you, Pimmy, you weren't really looking forward to Christmas, and judging by that, you're still not.
Well, I'm counting the days down till it's over and done with. The only thing that is a little bit of ray of sunlight at the end of my dark tunnel is that advent calendar.
What's in the advent calendar today, Pimmy?
Oh, my favourite.
What's that?
A beautiful bottle of Sancerre.
Oh! It's like Christmas has come early.
Well, it is, yes, it is. That is an absolute fine bottle. I really enjoyed my Chateau Neuf de Pape last week. But this Sancerre, might just want to chill it a little bit.
Okay.
And then I'll have that this evening when I've relaxed from the pressure of the work here at William Hill Towers.
Yeah.
Will just simply disappear.
Superb, good stuff. You know, last time I came in, you'd just been to the HWPA Awards or whatever it was.
Yes. Yep.
You were looking very hungover, if I'm honest. You'd not shaven. But
yeah.
You're still rocking the stubble look there, Pimmy. Have you had a change of image?
Well, I think I'm going to go for that more rugged look. You know what I mean? Something like yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that, but it might just take me a little bit longer. And the top and bottom one is I haven't got any shaving foam. So if you're out there, listener, William Hill Towers, just drop a little tin in. I might just get a shaver.
Yeah.
Festive season.
That could be a Christmas present from William Hill.
It could be,
We'll get you a tin of shaving.
Yeah, it'd be more than I've ever had before. But anyway, that's another story.
Very good, very good. Good racing over Christmas as well, Pimmy, of course.
Fabulous.
That's one of the highlights that we get to look forward to in this game. And the King George is the feature race on Boxing Day there. And it looks like we've got a pretty good renewal coming up. Once more, Mike Bite is the favourite at 5-4 at the time of recording this. Bristol the May 7-2, Thistlecrack 6-1, Fox Norton is 7-1, 15-2 for Whisper, who's the big mover in the market, coming from about 14s and 12s over the last couple of days. 12-1 for Disco, 18-1 T for 2, and 50-1 or bigger prices for the others. A couple of questions. Mike Bite, in your opinion, the one to beat?
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, obviously we saw what he was going to do to the race last year, or the race after the King George last year. He's been in great form since then. He travels supremely well. In general, he jumps really well. And, you know, he brings top-class form to the table. So he certainly is a worthy favourite for me, that is for sure. Obviously, Bristol De May annihilated his field at Haydock Park last time out. But two things, I think, there. A, he's a real big course specialist at Haydock. B, the ground was very, very testing on that occasion. Never the same ground at Kempton. It's always a lot drier. It'll be certainly a good ground, good to soft, I think, according to the forecast. It's very mild. So, you know, that might just slightly go against Bristol De May. Far as Thistlecrack's concerned, could not have him at any price.
No.
I thought he disappointed bitterly on his return to the track over hurdles the last time we saw him at Newbury. And for me, he's really, really got to bounce back to some sort of form. Fox Norton, well, he's interesting, that is for sure, because, you know, he's got some really high-class form in the book. And, again, I think maybe the ideal thing of stepping him up to this distance might well suit him as well, Fox Norton. So, you know, he could well be a player, having coming out of the, you know, the speeds, the 2 mile division up to three. Now, you see, you say Kempton's an easy three,
yeah,
but it's not an easy three
I agree with
in
that,
the King George.
Yes, because
they go head to head all the way, gallop, gallop, gallop. So you really got to stay round a sharp track, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think again, he could come into his own, Fox Norton there.
I raised that point with Gary yesterday. People say it's an easy 3 miles around Kempton. It might be, but not in the King George. Dower stays a one.
You've got to, yeah. You've got to really stay. And I can go back to a horse when I was at Dickinson's called Gay Spartan. He was a slow horse, but he won the King George. And he won it from being up there the whole way, making it a test of stamina, you know.
Yeah.
And the other horse for me is Whisper,
who,
you know, I thought he ran an absolutely fantastic race in the former Hennessy. He had to give an awful lot of weight to a very good horse. Handicappers take the dim view of that good run. And so he's got to go for these type of races now because he's handicapped out of everything else. But he could be the player as well, Whisper. And he definitely comes into the mix, and punters out there have been latching onto him.
Mm. I think he's still the each way angle in the race at 15-2.
Yeah, definitely. So, definitely. I couldn't see anything in double figure prices, to be honest, troubling the top end of the market.
Yeah. I mean, Disco, good form at Shorter, grade one performer. Interesting to see how he gets on over this kind of trip, and they sent him over from Ireland. So I could see him maybe getting involved. And T for two, we know, goes best around Kempton. So if he's going to do it anywhere, it would be.
And to be fair, at the Nick Williams yards had a couple of winners today, so the yard's in good nick, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you know, he'll give a good show, but I don't think T for two is just quite at that level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So Mike Bike to beat Whisper then, maybe. Nicky Henderson 1-2.
Yeah, I think it's between the two Henderson horses, and I think Mike Bite is the better of the two horses, but I think Whisper again will give another good run for your money.
Mm. Just noticed as well, Pim, before we came on, I'm going to spring it on you a little bit, but you'll know the horse anyway. Bouvardaire, the champion hurdler from last season, is going to turn up at Christmas as well, which is good news. Big favourite for the Christmas hurdle, 2-9.
Well, listen, he's got to be that short because he's the new kid on the block. He's the young pretender. He won very cosily in the Fighting Fifth last time out. And no disrespect to the 2 mile hurdlers, there's no strength in depth, is there?
No.
You know what I mean?
Behind, you've got Fourheen over in Ireland, and then the rest of them are a bit of a much of muchness.
That's right. And you know, you're looking at some other horses, like for the champion hurdle, Mellon. Well, he was well beaten last time out, York Hill. Apples Jade, she might be the one. But you know what I'm saying? There's no contenders for him, really. Mm. And he should be different gravy for that Christmas hurdle.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what's prompted the move over the last few days. He's become favourite for the race when Fourheen was. He's usurped him at the top of the betting. I don't just think if he goes and scoots up at Christmas, then he's going to shorten again.
Yeah, he's going to shorten again. And again, as far as we're aware, there's no chinks in Bouvardaire's armour, whereas Fourheen could be.
A couple of question marks, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got that to look forward to over Christmas, of course. We've got good racing this weekend. We've got a Grade 1 this weekend at Ascot in the shape of the Rev de Civilla Long Walk Hurdle. And you know what I mean, Harry. Last year's winner is the favourite to win it again. 7-4 at the top of the betting. 4-1 Lil Rockefeller. Lammy Surge is 9-2. 11-2 Thomas Campbell. 8-1 for Sam Spinner. The World's End is 12s and 20s or bigger for the remainder. You know what I mean, Harry. Bidding to become a multiple winner of the race, if you like, or a dual winner of the race. Rev de Civilla, the race named after him, he did that. Big Bucks has done that. Barracuda's done that in the past. See some real nice horses in the race.
Oh, yeah.
Can you know what I mean, Harry, become a back-to-back winner?
Do you know what I mean, Harry? I did, but just looking through that roll of honour, what does it tell you?
What does it tell you?
Yeah.
You tell me, what does it tell you?
Well, it tells me that you've got the specialist 3 milers in the shapes of Big Bucks because he's won it 3 times.
Yep.
Rev de Civilla won it 3 times. Thistlecrack. Again, he's gone chasing, and now you've got, you know what I mean, Harry. Again, I think he's in the same boat, that he'll be putting back-to-back wins together in the race because, you know, he brings the best form to the table. OK, he was disappointed behind Beer Goggles at Newbury last time, but, you know, that just seemed to turn out a funny race, that, didn't it, at Newbury. And then you've obviously got a Lil Rockefeller who, again, won at Ascot over 2 mile 3, beating Lammy Surge, who reopposes tomorrow. And again, though, you're stepping up big dip trip tomorrow, up to 3 miles for them. That's one thing we know about, you know what I mean, Harry. He'll stay all day in that 3 mile trip, and he's definitely, you know, the one that they've all got to beat. The only one that I think could run well at a big price, and he's really got to up his game at the weekend, is Sam Spinner, the Northern Challenger. Because he seems to be with a progressive profile. He's only a 5-year-old. This is a massive step forward for him. But I think, you know, his attitude and his willingness could see him run a real big race at a massive price.
Mm.
And again, there just might be a bit more to come from this fella.
He was very impressive last time, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, this is different gravy.
Yeah.
But he could well spring a surprise if you're looking for an each way slant on the race.
Yeah. He is currently 8-1.
I thought we're a bit skinny there, lads. I think that's a bit skinny. You know what I mean? I thought he might have been double figure price, to be honest.
Right.
But anyway, maybe sit tight and he might just drift a little bit before the day. But I want, you know what I mean, Harry, to win, but I'd like to see Sam Spinner run a big, big race.
Good stuff. That's the long walk hurdle. We'll have more on that over the weekend, of course.
Oh, am I telling tales out of school here?
What's that?
That Mr. Rev de Civler.
Yes.
Is going to do like a insight to Rev de Civler's victories in that long work order later on.
You've let the cat out of the bag.
I thought I might.
Yeah, we're going to do a little feature with Andrew Mount, who was one of the part owners of Rev de Civler, talking about the horse's performances in the long walk hurdle, which he loved it round there, and in heavy ground. We'll hear more from Andrew about that, and obviously having the race named in his honour as well.
Yeah, fantastic, nice, isn't it? Yeah, really, and very deserving.
Mm.
Very deserving. The Andrew Mount Long Walk Hurdle.
I'm sure.
Couldn't have asked for better,
yeah,
could you?
Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it, that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's move on to Friday's action next, because we've got some good racing at Ascot on Friday as well, including a couple of Grade 2 races. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts on those in a moment or two. But because they're relatively small fields, we're going to get stuck into something a little bit more open first, and that is the 105 at Ayr, which is a handicap chase, a Class 4 event over 3 miles. Field of 11 set to go to post for this one, Pimmy, and it's got quite an open look to it.
Well, open? You're having a laugh, aren't you? Wide open. 11 of them have been declared to face the starter. And it is a very tricky event, that is for sure. Recommend is represented on a couple of occasions, as show too is Lucinda Russell. She's got a couple of runners. And actually, it's nearly all girl power, because you've got Rebecca Mendes, Lucinda Russell, Miss L. Harrison, Mrs. Rose Dobbin, Mrs. L.B. Normeal. What's going on? They're taking over. Yeah. They'll soon be leading the country.
Girl power.
Exactly.
They'll soon be leading the country.
Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, see what you've done there.
Happy days. Happy days. Yeah, really, truly tricky little event. Interesting that the Norton Thorpe legend is going to be your favourite, I should imagine. He's got the pieces on for the first time. He's ridden by Brian Hughes for Rebecca Menzies. Just beaten a neck last time out between Beginnery at Carlisle. And that was over tomorrow's trip of 3 miles. He does jump well and he does stay well. So he's certainly an interesting play. And as I say, pieces on for the first time. You could also say that about his stable companion, Valzan, who, again, he ran bitterly disappointing last time out at Carlisle. I mean, too bad to be true, to be perfectly honest, because prior to that, he hadn't been running too bad. He supports the pieces for the first time tomorrow afternoon, and he could well be a player also. Then you've got Conor O'Farrell, who seems to have positioned himself in the north of England now, having been with David Pipe. I think he's based in the north somewhere. Exactly if he's with a stable, not quite sure. But Nakadam has finished second on the last two ice we've seen him. And that was behind ACDC at Ayr over 3 miles. That was back in November. But again, he ran plenty well enough in defeat. And another couple in there that have run well in defeat the last time we've seen him. And one of them being Loch Nell. Again, the Irish challenger trained by Ian Duncan. And again, that was just 2.5 lengths behind Midnight Walk at Sedgefield the last time we saw that one, but that steps up to 3 miles tomorrow afternoon. So, wide open race, as you can imagine. Plenty of horses here coming in into the race on the back of good runs without quite getting the head in front. But I think I'm going to take a chance with the Henry Brook-ridden Loch Nell, who is a C and D winner in the past.
Loch Nell and the pick for Pimmy in the 105 at Ayr. Then let's move on to the good stuff at Ascot, the 155. The first race we look at there, it's the Supreme Trial Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2. Used to be known as the Kennel Gates. It's over a mile and 7.5 furlongs, really, almost 2 miles. And the market's headed at the moment. I think we've got betting. We do. Clementec and Forgan, the 7-4 favourite. Slate House is 11-4. 9-2, Mr. One More. The Clock is Ticking is 9-2. 10-1 for Dr. Dez. And Kerb Limey is the outsider at 14-1. 6-1, Pimmy.
Yeah.
Right here, Clementec and Forgan. What do you make of him to start with?
Well, he's an interesting recruit, isn't he, for the Nicky Henderson Yard. 43 days ago since we last seen him win at Newbury. That was beating Lost in Translation by a comfortable 2.25 lengths. He's obviously got a profile that's progressive. Just how progressive it's going to be remains to be seen, because Slate House is a similar sort of horse. He won at Cheltenham in the soft in November when he beat Somerville Boy by 3/4 of a length. Again, not a big field on that occasion, but he did it really nicely. And he's definitely got to be a player tomorrow. Issue there being his £5 penalty. That might just bring things a little bit tighter. Cor Blimey, well, I think he'll be the outsider of the field. He did win last time out, but nothing to do with the ability that these have shown. Dr. Dez, again, I think would be another one that's going to be a bigger price. Mr. One More could be interesting, carrying the colours of JP McManus. Harry Fry trains this one, and again, working on William Hill Racing Radio on the Thursday afternoon, we have found that the Fry Yard are not particularly taking all before them in the last few weeks. So slight concern regarding the health of the Harry Fry Yard. But again, Mr. One More was a ready winner at Ascot last time out when he beat Dr. Dez by a neck. Obviously, Dr. Dez reopposes tomorrow, but I can't see that becoming a different result. And the clock is ticking. Well, isn't it just ticking? Don't we know about it at our time of life? The clock is ticking, and ticking quite quicker than my heart's able to go. But that's another story. And again, he was a winner last time out, but a little bit to find, I feel, on official ratings. So, competitive race. I think I'm going to stick with Slate House, despite the £5 penalty.
Okay, Slate House then, the pick for Pimmy, arrives here trying to rack up a third successive victory in the UK, having won twice at Cheltenham so far. That is the pick in the Supreme Trial. Just a quick one on that as well, Pimmy. I like Mr. One More. Do you know why?
Why?
Because Mr. One More, you go to the bar with him and he goes, do you want one more?
Should we yeah, one exactly, more? Yeah. We could. I'd rather if it was Mr. Two More. Then we would have some fun.
Yeah. And final race we look at is just a three-runner affair, Pimmy, but it is there are some nice horses in there. It's the Noel Novices Chase, Grade 2 over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Finian's Oscar, Benatar and Dolos making up the lineup. And we'll start with Finian's Oscar, who's probably, well, he's going to go favourite. I imagine I'd be shocked if he didn't. It was a bit disappointing last time.
He was, yeah. He just didn't turn up, did he, really? For whatever reason. I mean, listen, So Royale was so impressive that occasion, wasn't he? That, you know, he was more likely beaten by a very, very good horse. But, you know, he's beaten a long, long way behind So Royale. And you've got to nearly forgive him that run for whatever reason. The only thing that does surprise me is that it's just 13 days ago and they're coming back to the well. Now, whether they found anything or whether they just thought, well, you know, he had an off day and we'll go forward, then, you know, so be it. I mean, he hasn't got an easy task tomorrow, even with only two rivals, because Benatar is no mug, that is for sure. I mean, he dotted up at Plumpton. I know it's not quite the same as Ascot, but even so, you could do more than
well,
one.
That form's been boosted since, hasn't it, as well?
Well, Keeper Hill's not a bad horse, and he won nicely at Doncaster at the weekend. He's held in high regard by the Great Tricks Yard. So, yeah, that wasn't a bad run at all by Benatar. And then Dolus is no mug either. And, I mean, he won at Ascot over 2 mile 3 back in November when he beat Stern Rubin. So, you know, it's a good little race. Finian Oscar has to come back to where he was prior to that disappointing run last time out. But I certainly see no reason why he can't do that. And again, he's got to give £5 to Benatar. And he's also got to give a little bit more to Dolus, who's the four-year-old. So he's getting all the allowances.
Yeah.
But for a three-horse race, it could be pretty exciting.
It is. It's quite open, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paul Nicholls has a fantastic recent record on this as well. Politologue Le Mercury and Petit Zig won it for him in the last 3 years, so he's bidding for a fourth, and he's got the four-year-old with the allowances who dotted up last time in Dollar. So you can't even write the least likely of them out, really.
No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. And again, as I say, the four-year-olds get the allowances, so that could be a little bit of a bruisey bonus. The only thing I would say about looking at that Roll of Honour mark is we ain't had a four-year-old win it.
Good
now,
point.
I wouldn't know how many four-year-olds have actually run in the race, but you know what I'm saying, that would be my slight negative.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I get that. What would your pick be on Friday, then, out of the three?
I want Finian's Oscar to win because I want to have a superstar, if you know what I mean. I mean, he's a real good horse, and we want to get him back to that. So he'd be for me.
All right, Finian's Oscar, then. I would agree with that as well. Get that he's had that little bit of shine knocked off him last time when he get that little
disappointing display off the CV and let's go forward.
Good. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Been a pleasure.
My pleasure as always.
I think this will be the last time I see you before Christmas. Well, so Merry Christmas. Try and enjoy it.
I'm going to do my utmost best. Again, I can tell my disciples out there in Little Land, no pin on Boxing Day this year.
Yeah,
but I will be back on the Wednesday.
So you know when to avoid racing, really?
Correct. You know. Next Wednesday, plan to go out with the missus and do a bit of shopping. Yeah, and then body swerve the sales on Boxing Day and get tuned in.
Cheers, Pimmy.
My pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. There's Chris Pimlott. Looking ahead to Friday's racing for us, you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Ascot Air, Uttoxeter and Southall in the afternoon, Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. Six meetings for a Friday, including Grade 2 action, so make sure you join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.